imagine, if you will, a flowering plant, a perennial. And every year it flowers, beginning with little flower buds, and the buds get bigger. At some point, the buds are ready to open. They've protected the inside long enough, and they open, revealing the inside for pollinators. At some point, the flower is pollinated, and the seed begins to grow, and the petals are no longer needed. And if you have all the time in the world to sit and watch the flower, at some point, time when you will never know, never predict, the first petal falls off. Some other time, another petal falls off. Sometimes a wind comes through and blows off more. The wind dies down and nothing happens for a while, and then plop. I don't know what sound a flower petal makes when it falls off the flower, but and then next year it does it again. And again. So we have our desires and attachments, cravings, fears, all kinds of things that maybe protected us at some point, formed a bud. Sometimes the protection was successful, sometimes it's the very thing that made life dangerous. But still, but just like the flower was not made to stay a bud, so we humans were not made to stay closed. And so we open our petals open, the petals of all kinds of things. Of desires and aversions, fears and aspirations and dreams, memories and hopes, all kinds of things are there, those petals. But when what's been pollinated can be pollinated, has been pollinated, and ready to grow into a seed, those petals are not needed. And if the conditions are right, maybe at a time that you never know when, the petals fall off. When desires are no longer needed, they fall away. When aversion is no longer needed, the conditions are right. They're made to just fall away. And since we're perennials, at some point the next flower grows next season, and same cycle over again. But we learn. How valuable it is to no longer need our desires, no longer need our aversions, our hopes, our dreams, our fears, our resentments, our angers. Who knows, maybe they had a need at some point. We needed them at some point. But it's possible to come to a maturity, a full flowering, where those are no longer needed. And they can fall off. And this full opening of our flower, of our life, maybe with when we're pollinated with the Dharma, and the Dharma seed grows. At some point, for a period of time, a time comes when, believe it or not, you don't need any of your desires. You don't need any of your aversions, resistances. You don't need your doubts, your cynicism, the resentments, judgments. Blames. The day will come when, if you're in the Dharma, the Dharma seed is growing, you might come to that time, the full maturation of your flower. And all those petals will fall away. And you don't know when. Maybe when the Dharma seed is big enough. To manage on its own. And the seasons change. We're perennials, most of us. And so we go through the same cycles again, and desires come back and aversions come back. And then we go through it again, if we're lucky enough. And what is its full flowering of us? I'd like to propose that the full flowering of whoever we are, each of us our own way, is a time and a place where we no longer need the petals. They've done their job. Well enough, maybe. And it's completely fine, appropriate. Maybe even it's the nature of this world that when the seed grows, the petals fall. I think for many people, the idea that we can come to a place in time when there's no desire is a very foreign idea. I'm pretty confident that if you tell some people in our society that you have no desire, they might want to give you an antidepressant. But what if you knew that this full maturation, this full maturity of your flower is the happiest time you've ever been, or the most peaceful time you've ever been, a peace that seems more full, more mature, more without those desires, any desire whatsoever. But I need my desires. We all need our desires. I won't make it around and I won't figure out what to do and I can't give up my desires. But, how many buts do you have? But this is not the getting rid of all desires once and for all. When you finish a meal and eaten your fill, feel very contented and peaceful. And it's the time to no longer eat. And maybe the desire to eat has fallen away. We don't sit at the table with a stomach full and but I can't have a I can't let go of this desire to eat. We just realize we're finished for now. It's safe to let go of the desire to eat when you're full and contented. And when you're hungry later, the desire can return. So in Dharma practice, we're kind of coming, growing, finding our way into this time of the flowering, full flowering, where we're contented, peaceful. We've had our fill, in a sense. And of course, it's okay to have the desires fall away. They're not needed. They're no longer needed for now. But without my desires, who will I be? Without my desires, how will I be safe? But pretty confident that the perennial flower that's been fertilized and the seed is growing doesn't worry about keeping its petals. It's fine for them to fall away when they're no longer needed. And for us, what a great thing to discover that it is in fact possible to have all the petals fall away. Wow. Maybe the Dharma seed only comes to maturity when the petals have fallen. Maybe only when we have an experience of a full absence of desire, no longer any movement of desire in the mind, do we understand what desire is? Maybe only with the full absence of desire do we understand how desires are useful and not useful, and more important, to understand how to have a desire that has no tension with it. Desire that has no weight, no compulsion, no need, no strain. And knowing that possibility can lead to a radically different way of living. A new way of living. Where we can live in this world having all kinds of desires, what to do and care for ourselves and care for others. But those desires can live in us with freedom. The desires can be set free of our strain, our tension, our need, our pressure, our conceit. Imagine desires set free. Where desires can arise. And it's easy, the easiest thing in the world, to let them go. Or to follow their direction, if that's the wise thing to do. And to know how desires can be free in us, it really helps to have desires, to have come to the end of desires, to have the trust, the willingness, the openness, to let something inside mature, to grow and develop and come to its fullness, its flowering. Not so we can throw away the petals, but it's nature, it's the what happens in nature that the petals will fall off. So this introduction is to introduce the topic for today, which is the wish. It usually is called the wishless. Yesterday there was the signless, today the wishless. Sometimes it's translated as the aimless, not having an aim, not having the mind wanting something, even focus on something, aiming at anything, the mind at rest. And with the language I used yesterday, with the wishless, the desireless state, way of being, is this luxurious bed we can rest in. How nice. Imagine that. The traditional language, the word for this, is these three, the doors of liberation. And thinking about the flower and the petals, maybe they're the winds of liberation, the little breeze that comes along and just knocks off the petals. And each of these doors of liberation are associated with the three characteristics. So there's a way that we experience change, constancy, impermanence, that somehow or other brings the mind to a point where it's fully flowered, fully blossomed, where it doesn't need any more attachments, any more craving, any desire. It doesn't need to attribute anything or hold on to anything because it can't. To see the changing nature of it, everything, is to see that there's no attribute that lasts long enough to hold on to. And so, to really have a deep insight into anicca opens the door of the signless, the attributeless. To have the view, the clear experience of dukkha, of ouch. To be so thorough that surprisingly the only thing left to do for the mind is to stop wanting. And there it doesn't seem like it's this beautiful, pastoral, poetic image of a flower. But this is what flower, you know, maybe this is the... Anyways, this is how it works, that there's a way of being with dukkha, which is liberating, freeing. And some of you have had that experience, some of you have talked about it, I've had it, where in the practice, doing this practice, I reached rock bottom. It was just, I was so miserable. I tried everything. The more I tried, the worse it got. Tied myself in knots. And just, I kept banging my head against the wall. And finally, I just kind of, it was just like rock bottom, and it's just like, okay, I just give up. And that was when the practice began. That's when something released, I was freed from it, something could then begin and unfold. So that's one example, maybe an unfortunate example of dukkha being liberating. It can also be liberating when we don't have that level of dukkha, but it just becomes really obvious in some way, in a peaceful, quiet setting of a settled mind, that any desire, in fact, any directionality, wanting, doing of the mind, feels a little bit like sandpaper. A little bit like, this is a little bit off. Something's off here. And you can't find any satisfaction, anything. It all seems so kind of grating, a little bit off. And sometimes this, the mind finally, only then is the mind sometimes willing to cease, give up, desiring. When it realizes it can't organize the universe for pleasure or to get what we want. The petals can drop off, and something deeper can mature. Freedom can mature. And tomorrow I'll talk about the door of liberation of emptiness. And that's associated with a third characteristic, with not self. And the traditional lore, traditional kind of idea, is that you don't get to choose which door opens for you. Which would be nice, right? Because who wants to do that, go through the door of dukkha? So who knows? And who knows the time the petal falls? We don't know. But we do our practice sincerely, dedicatingly. And allowing something to grow. You've all been fertilized. You all have the Dharma seed in you. So you just kind of do your practice and let it grow and develop. And there are things along the way where you can let go of. Some things, it's obvious, it's easy, or sometimes it's no other choice. But there's things you can't do yourself. Some things you can't, you know, just choose to be free. You have to wait for the winds, the three winds, signless, the wishless, and emptiness, for them to grace you with their wind, then the petals fall. So I hope in what I've said so far that the possibility of coming to the end of desire temporarily will be more welcome for you now. Something maybe that your whole psychophysical system will be less afraid of. It can be one of the most frightening things to be on the edge of that possibility, because the whole life is organized around desires of all kinds. And the way to that maturity of the fluff of your flower of you that allows for this falling away is a kind of relaxed, gentle wholeheartedness. Maybe a sense of ease, maybe a sense of not pushing and not straining and not expecting. But a kind of contentment of wholehearted giving yourself to the practice. So that you can kind of forget yourself in doing it. So fully, wholeheartedly engaged in the moment-to-moment practice. Just like reading a good book. That absorbs your attention. The same way absorbed in their practice. Maybe an unfortunate analogy in that some of you have great stories in your mind to be absorbed in. But this is to be absorbed in not the stories, but in the moment to moment, showing up and being here and present. Just here. And until the wholeheartedness feels like there's a contentment, an inspiration, a happiness, a peacefulness here. Because we're learning how to be wholehearted without straining. Wholehearted without conceit. Wholehearted without compulsion and expectations. Wholehearted without concerns about results. Just no concern with the results. Just now, hear this. As if this present moment awareness is the sunlight that allows the flower to grow and mature. and the desires and expectations and the fears and the attachments and things we have is what blocks the sun. Keep from providing the light that the flower needs. And of course, we go through our ups and downs in practice. Every day, every hour. And of course. But what if the key to it all is your simple wholeheartedness with whatever you have, whatever your condition is? What if that is all that needs to happen? Wholehearted practice with whatever is available, whatever can be done. Maybe that's the sunlight. I'd like to make a proposal. The proposal is that it's based on the idea that there can be agitation and calm knowing of the agitation. There can be restlessness while at the same time something in us is at rest. If we identify with the agitation or the restlessness, then maybe there's no room for the other. If we're too concerned with it, there's no room for the other. But if there's mindfulness, if there's attention, there can be both there. I'd like to propose that there can be non-desire, the absence of desire, together with the presence of desire. That whatever way you're doing mindfulness practice, it's possible to discover in the mindfulness, in the knowing, how to do it without any desires. Even though all around it are swirling a hurricane of desires, if you happen to be one of those humans who specializes in them, takes pride in them, whatever. But it's possible that you can kind of hold together side by side the desires that exist that sometimes you can't just easily let go of, but contextualize it, hold it within the knowing that has no desire. Or perhaps you can feel that in fact what's also present is the absence of desire somewhere. So I suspect that all of you have a few desires that come along from time to time. Most of the universe, like just about all of it. Lax your desire. Whatever desire you have is not on the moon. You won't find it there. Whatever desires you have is, while you're sitting in the meditation hall, is not outside the walls here in the forest. Whatever desires you have is not beyond the edges of your body. Whatever desire you have is kind of actually a teeny little thing compared to the size of all that has no desire, the absence of desire. Maybe there's a way of appreciating this ever-present absence of desire that's always here, so that when you are noticing that you happen to have a desire, you're less inclined to automatically believe it, automatically take direction from it, automatically get pulled into its orbit. And you might see it. Oh, it's a desire. Maybe it's just a petal. And maybe once upon a time it had a role. Thank you for your what you've done. Thank you for your if you helped me. Maybe you'll help me in the future. But right now, please allow me to flower fully. Let the seed of freedom grow. Maybe you'd like to fall off, fall to the ground, decompose, and be the fertilizer for next season's flower. May you come to appreciate the absence of desire. Thank you, dear flowers.